Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS.
The salt-tinged air over Sriharikota. It crackles with anticipation. A nation watches as the Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle ignites its engines.
4, 3, 2, 1, 0. S-139 motor and both strap-ons ignite.
Thundering skyward with a pillar of fire and smoke. On board is Anvesha, a 407 kilogram surveillance satellite, the crown jewel of this mission, built by DRDO to watch India's borders with capabilities no other ordinary camera possesses. For 16 minutes, the ascent is absolutely perfect. A textbook demonstration of India's mastery over spaceflight. First stage, flawless. Second stage, nominal. Mission control is calm. The trajectory is exactly where it should be. And then, the calm breaks. A voiceover, the internal loop, tight with concern, reports performance disturbances in the third stage. A deviation in flight path follows. And just like that, the primary payload and its 15 co-passengers are lost. The workhorse has stumbled for the second time in a row. How could India's most reliable rocket, the vehicle that sent missions to the moon and Mars, fail again with the same fault? And what does this crisis mean for a nation with soaring ambitions at a time of immense geopolitical pressure? Today, let's unpack what's really at stake here. We're looking at unfolding reliability crisis in a legendary launch vehicle. The urgent geopolitical pressures driving India's desperate need for eyes in the sky, and the massive, high-stakes gamble the country is taking on privatizing its entire space industry. This is a story about ambition, failure, and the race to secure a nation's future from the ultimate high ground.
You're listening to Nelson John 360. Nelson John 360.
Hello and welcome back to Nelson John 360, and I'm your host, Nelson John. All right, let me break down what happened today on the 12th of January, 2026. Because to understand the sheer scale of what's at stake, we really need to get into the specifics here. The mission was PSLV C-62. It was the 64th flight of the Polar Satellite Launch Vehicle. It was launched in what's called the DL configuration, which simply means it used 2 solid rocket strap-on boosters to give it extra push off the launch pad. Pretty standard, you know, the kind of stuff they generally use for heavier payloads. Now, the primary payload was EOS N1, which is also known as Anvesha. And this wasn't just any satellite. This was a DRDO-built hyperspectral imaging satellite. You know, it's designed explicitly for military surveillance and border security. Now, let me explain to you what makes this hyperspectral imaging so special, because it's a genuinely fascinating technology. A normal camera sees the world like our eyes do, in visible light. But a hyperspectral imager You know, it captures light in hundreds of narrow spectral bands. It can identify materials based on their unique reflective signatures. Space analyst Girish Linganna put it perfectly when he said that Anvesha sees what other satellites simply cannot. On the ground, that means enemy tanks hidden under camouflage nets. It can spot them. Illegal border activities concealed by vegetation. It can detect them. Crops suffering from disease that looks perfectly healthy to normal cameras. Anvesha can identify them. Because different materials reflect light differently in ways that are completely invisible to regular cameras. This was a critical tool for national security. And now it's gone. Somewhere lost in space. But Anvesha wasn't alone up there. The rocket was also carrying 15 co-passenger satellites from a mix of international and Indian customers. Satellites, you know, intended for everything from AI processing to IoT services. Companies from Brazil, Nepal, Spain, France, and even the United Kingdom. They all trusted Israel with their payloads. That trust has now taken a serious hit. So what actually went wrong during those final moments? According to Israel's chairman, Dr. V. Narayanan, the flight was completely nominal until the very end of the third stage burn. That's the PS3, a solid rocket motor that burns about 7.6 tons of propellant. And here's the thing about solid rocket motors that you need to know. Once you light them, there is no off switch. No throttle control. It essentially is like a firework. It burns out until it's done. So when something goes wrong, it goes wrong fast. And there's very little you can do about it. Near the end of that burn, the rocket started experiencing what the engineers called roll rate disturbances. Basically, that means tumbling and spinning when it absolutely shouldn't have been. The flight path deviated. And that was it. Mission over. Now, if this was a one-time thing, we could reasonably call it an unfortunate incident. Rockets, you know, they're incredibly complex machines operating at the edge of what physically is possible. Things fail. It happens to everyone in the business. But here's where it gets really concerning. This was not a one-time thing. Just 8 months ago, in May 2025, PSLV C-61 failed. And guess what? It was also a third stage problem, similar to this one. That time, it was a sudden drop in chamber pressure, like a pressure cooker losing steam unexpectedly. The rocket couldn't generate enough thrust. And the EOS-09 radar imaging satellite ended up in a completely unusable orbit. So now let me put this in perspective for you. In 33 years and 64 flights, PSLV has had only 4 failures total. 2 of those happened in the last 8 months, both in the third stage. Different symptoms, yes. One was a roll rate disturbance, and the other was a chamber pressure, but the same organ failing. You might call this a coincidence or not anymore. It looks like a pattern, and patterns demand answers. The consequences of this failure are hitting India from multiple directions simultaneously, and I think it's important we understand each of them. First, there's the immediate strategic loss, a critical national security asset designed to give India a technological edge in border surveillance is simply gone. You can't replace that overnight. Second, there is the reputational damage. PSLV's global reputation as a dependable workhorse launcher, a reputation that's built over 3 decades of mostly successful missions, has been severely dented. International customers who were already impressed by India's cost-effectiveness will now hesitate before signing their next contract. Third, there's the commercial and diplomatic setback. For New Space India Limited, which is ISRO's commercial arm, losing 15 customer payloads in one go erodes the trust that's absolutely essential for winning international contracts in an increasingly competitive market. But here's what you really need to understand. And this is where the story gets much, much bigger than a single failed launch. The loss of Anvesha wasn't just a technical setback. It was a blow to a much larger, much more urgent strategy taking shape in the corridors of India's defense establishment. To really grasp the weight of what just happened, let's just zoom out and understand the immense geopolitical pressure driving India's space program right now. Because the Anvesha mission wasn't routine at all. It was the sharp end of an ambitious national security strategy. That strategy has a name. It's called the Space-Based Surveillance 3 program. India has officially expedited a massive military satellite program with one stark and ambitious objective. Deploy a constellation of 52 defense surveillance satellites by 2029. Let that number sink in for a moment. 52 surveillance satellites. Nearly 27,000 crore rupees in investments. That's approximately $3.2 billion. And they want that full constellation operational in just 3 years. Why this urgency? Why this scale? The answer is one word: China. China has been rapidly expanding its military space infrastructure for years now. They have hundreds of military and dual-use satellites already in orbit. Their capabilities for surveillance, communication, and even anti-satellite warfare have grown enormously. India, you know, it's racing to catch up, and frankly, it's been racing from behind. This Space-Based Surveillance 3 program is designed to establish continuous, real-time surveillance over sensitive border regions with both China and Pakistan, as well as the critical Indian Ocean region, IOR, where Chinese naval presence has been steadily increasing. Think about what that really means in practical terms. Right now, if Chinese troops move equipment near the LOC or Pakistan repositions artillery near the border, India relies on a patchwork of satellites, reconnaissance flights, and ground-based intelligence. There are gaps in coverage. There are blind spots. Information sometimes arrives too late to be actionable. With 52 dedicated surveillance satellites working in concert, Indian Army, Navy, the Air Force, they would all have high-resolution imaging with enhanced revisiting frequencies. They could monitor adversary movements and infrastructure in unprecedented detail, whether it's day or night, through clouds, continuously. Now that's a genuine strategic transformation. And here's the timeline pressure that makes all of this so urgent. The first satellite launch under this program is scheduled for April 2026. That's just 3 months from now. Think about what we just discussed. India's workhorse rocket has failed twice in 8 months. The third stage has a recurring unsolved flaw. And in 3 months, India is supposed to start launching what might be the most important satellite constellation in its history. This is why PSLV crisis matters so much more than headlines about a single failed launch would suggest. It's about whether India can meet its national security deadlines at a moment of genuine geopolitical pressure when the margins for error has essentially disappeared. Now, here is another dimension to this story that's equally important. Because India isn't just relying on ISRO to pull this off. Of the 52 satellites in Space-Based Surveillance 3 program, ISRO is slated to build and launch only 21. So you'd ask me, what about the remaining 31 satellites? They will be deployed and developed by three private sector companies. This private-public partnership, you know, it represents a fundamental shift in how India approaches space. And it's not just happening for the military program. It's part of a much bigger gamble that India has placed on the future of its entire space industry. With its trusted rockets suddenly unreliable and enormous pressure to deliver, India has been forced to accelerate its most audacious bet yet. And that is handing over the keys to its space future to private industry. And I want to be crystal clear about what this means. This isn't just about outsourcing a few components here and there or contracting some manufacturing work. This is a fundamental reimagining of how India gets to space. At the heart of this strategy is New Space India Limited, NSIL for short. It's a central public sector enterprise under the Department of Space, and it has two core missions. First, commercially exploit the products and services of the Indian space program for global customers. Second, enable Indian industries to scale up high technology manufacturing for space activities. NSIL is essentially the bridge between ISRO's decades of hard-won expertise and the private sector's industrial capacity and efficiency. When you look at it, this strategy is about to face its most significant test. NSIL has signed a landmark contract with a consortium of Hindustan Aeronautics Limited and L&T, Larsen & Toubro, for the high-end production of 5 PSLV-XL rockets. This has culminated in a highly anticipated milestone, the launch of PSLV-N1, the first Indian industry-produced rocket, scheduled for early 2026. For the first time in history, India's flagship rocket will be fully manufactured and assembled outside of Israel. Now, that's genuinely historic. That's regardless of how you feel about the privatization debate. The drivers behind this seismic shift are clear and compelling. First, it's about the economies. India's space economy was valued at $8.2 billion in 2026. The projections, $44 billion by 2033. That's more than a fivefold increase in less than a decade. Handing over PSLV production to private industry is seen as a key accelerator for this exponential growth. Second, it's about launch frequency. With domestic needs like the 52-satellite surveillance constellation, plus a growing list of international customers, India might simply need to launch more frequently than what ISRO does alone. Privatization is expected to free up ISRO's focus on research, development, and the really ambitious deep space missions, while industry can handle more routine, repetitive launches. Third, it's about global competitiveness. By leveraging the efficiencies of private industry, the goal is to reduce launch costs and attract a larger share of the international satellite launch market. India wants to compete seriously with SpaceX, Rocket Lab, and Ariane Space, not just on price, but on reliability and frequency too. But here's the thing about gambles. They can pay off spectacularly, or they can fail at the worst possible moment. The success of the first private PSLV, the PSLV-N1, will be the most critical test yet of this entire strategy. If it works, it validates India's privatization approach and opens the doors to the $44 billion future. If it doesn't, well, with ISRO's own PSLV having consecutive failures, India would face some very hard questions about its entire path to space. Now, while the PSLV crisis, it dominates the headlines, it would be a mistake to think that India's entire space program is in trouble. That's absolutely not true. Because looking beyond this challenge reveals something genuinely remarkable. In July 2025, India crossed a major milestone with the successful launch of the NISAR satellite. NISAR, it stands for the NASA ISRO Synthetic Aperture Radar Mission. This was a $1.5 billion joint venture. The satellite was lifted by a GSLV rocket, which has been performing well, by the way, and it cements India's role as a major partner in global space-based climate monitoring. So what does the NISAR satellite do? NISAR will map nearly all of Earth's land and ice surfaces every 12 days in an unprecedented detail, meaning it's going to revolutionize our understanding of climate change, natural disasters, and resource management. And then there is the Gaganyaan program, India's human spaceflight mission, and it's moving forward with a critical uncrewed test flight planned for later this year to validate systems before astronauts are sent to orbit. On the exploration front, scientists continue to analyze groundbreaking data from Chandrayaan-3. Remember when India became only the fourth nation to soft land on the moon and the first to reach the lunar South Pole? Looking ahead, India is collaborating with Japan's space agency, JAXA, on the joint Chandrayaan-5 LOOPEX mission to explore water ice at the moon's South Pole. Perhaps most exciting is the new space revolution happening in India's private sector. Beyond the large-scale manufacturing contracts with HAL and L&T, a vibrant startup scene is emerging. Let's take, for example, Skyroot Aerospace. You know, they're preparing for their first orbital flight with its Vikram 1 rocket in 2026. And we have Agnikul Technologies that's targeting further missions with its unique Agniban rocket. Now, this features something genuinely incredible, a single-piece 3D printed engine. What you need to know is that these aren't companies that are just copying what exists elsewhere. They are innovating in ways that could change the economies of spaceflight globally. And here's something that connects back to our PSLV story. Even as ISRO grapples with the recurring third stage failure, its innovation pipeline is already providing potential answers. The agency recently tested an upgraded third stage for its small satellite launch vehicle, built with a new carbon epoxy composite motor case. This innovation, you know, not only reduces weight, but it also adds 90 kilograms of payload capacity, but also showcases the advanced materials and manufacturing techniques that could be critical to diagnosing and resolving the very issues plaguing the PSLV's third stage. So where does this all leave us? 2026, you know, it stands as a truly decisive year for India's space program. Well, it's a moment defined by a stark and compelling tension. A crisis of confidence in the country's most dependable rocket is colliding with the absolute peak of its strategic needs and commercial ambitions. The stakes for national security, for economic growth, for global standing. They've never been higher. And the events of this year will answer a set of fundamental questions that will define India's trajectory as a space power for the next decade. Now, the question is, can ISRO quickly and transparently diagnose and fix the recurring third stage issue in the PSLV? Can they restore faith in the legendary workhorse? Will the HAL and L&T consortium deliver a successful maiden launch of the private PSLV N1? Will it validate the nation's high-stakes privatization strategy at the most critical moment? And how will the events of 2026, both the failures and the potential triumphs, impact the urgent timeline for the 52-satellite surveillance network and the ambitious national goal of building $44 billion space economy by 2033? The path forward will test the resilience of India's institutions and the synergy between the state and its burgeoning private sectors. Well, if you ask me, I strongly believe India can navigate this turbulence. We have the talent here. There is ambition here. The track record, despite today's setback, speaks for itself. Chandrayaan, Mangalyaan, the world's cheapest Mars mission, we've punched above our weight before. And we will continue to do it again. But greatness requires constant vigilance. It requires honesty about failures. It requires learning in public and adapting quickly. And right now, it requires some hard questions and even harder answers. The world's watching to see if India can secure its place as a true heavyweight in the final frontier. I want to hear from you. What do you think ISRO should do next? Should they ground the PSLV until the third stage is completely redesigned or push forward with the privatization strategy? Drop your thoughts in the comments or leave me a message on Instagram. I'm available at NelsonJohn360. If this episode helped you understand what's happening with India's space program, please share it with someone who cares about India's future. And I'll catch you on the next one. Stay safe.